Hi, everybody.
Am I your first guest?
You are. Wow. This is the first episode.
Wow.
Anyways, hi, everybody. This is the Eat, Pray, Thought podcast. I am your host, Savoy Anthony Jefferson, also known as the baddest bitch in the land, also known as the most nervous bitch in the land right now. This is episode one, aka episode one, entitled Flawless. I named it Flawless because in 2014, I did a drag performance, my first drag performance ever, or my only drag performance ever, and I was super nervous, and I did Flawless by Beyonce, so I felt like this is ceremonious like that as well. It's the first episode, so we named the title Flawless by Beyonce. I woke up like this. I didn't wake up like this, but you know, whatever. Anyways, so as I said, this is the Eat, Pray, Thought podcast. Named after the blog that I started in March of 2017. And essentially, Eat is, it's discussing food, but it's not just about food. It's obviously about your mental diet, where things are you ingesting mentally as well as physically. And then, of course, food, because a bitch loves french fries and just foods in general. And then pray is obviously religion, but also just life, passions, everything like that. And then thought is, you know, thought and sex, you know, relationships, you know, nasty things sometimes, whatever you like. And yeah, so this is the podcast, and on the blog we talk about variety issues. We have, I've talked about the 10 celebrity men I would never have sex with. I've talked about the seven wonders of great dick, which sometimes I'm an expert on great dick, sometimes I'm not. I've had a variety of dicks, but we'll talk about that on a later episode, or sometime maybe even later in this episode, who knows. So that is pretty much the rundown. I really want the podcast to be the best way to describe it is I want it to be a mix of Little Kim meets Lana Van Zandt. So we want to be informative, we want to talk about life lessons, but we also just want to be just nasty and filthy sometimes. But you know, it really depends on the guest and depends on what they want. I'm going to say inappropriate things all the time because that's who I am and that's why people love me. So anyways, we're going to get into our first guest. Ow! Come on, first guest. His name is Asoh Harris. He's a media maven. He's an event curator. And then he's also my fairy gay godfather. he makes me super happy. He gets me together real quick. A lot of people get me together, but he gets me together in a way that makes me feel okay, I can do this. I can do this. So, everybody, all thoughts, open your legs and welcome Mr. Asoh Harris.
What's up?
Hi, welcome. Episode one.
I can't believe I'm your first guest.
Exactly.
I'm honored. I feel honored.
You should. Lay everybody up in my bedroom. No, I'm joking. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, along with being your fairy gay godfather. Is that what it is?
Yeah, fairy gay godfather.
Along with that. I don't know. I'm an Atlanta, New York City boy. I've been back and forth all my life. Other than that, what else do I do? You said I'm a media maven. I guess so. I've been an editor-in-chief of Uptown Magazine. I've written for People Magazine. I've written a book, all that jazz. So, you know, all those things. And I started my own company this year.
Yes. Okay. So what event do you want to talk about your company?
It's cool. It's called Harris Creative Group. So I do a lot of creative direction. I do editorial direction. What else do I do? I do a lot of brand copywriting for different luxury brands.
Okay.
And have events for different luxury brands like American Express, Platinum, and
come on, throw them stats out there, son. Throw them stats,
you know, something like that.
All right. So obviously
first of all, can we talk about this Flawless performance? I need to see, is there video of that?
There is video. I need to find it because I lost it.
I need you to send me that as soon as you get home.
I was good. I mean, I won second place and mm-hmm. I got $19.
Work.
And I didn't know that during drag shows they come and mm-hmm. give you money. So,
bitch, you were surprised.
And I was like,
you were dropping it. I get a dollar too?
I get a dollar just for this.
Yes,
I earned at least my makeup back.
Possibly
my haircut because I had to shave up all my facial hair and I looked like a fetus for a few days.
But it was worth it.
It was totally worth it.
It's totally gonna be worth it when I see it. I need to see that.
Yes, it was everything. Okay. And I had a blonde wig, with bangs, and I had a Wu-Tang crop top.
Yes,
and over
Banji. Yeah,
yes,
just Banji. Just Banji. Real.
I was the original Cardi. No, yes. I'm joking. No. I was the original Cardi.
You sound a little. You sound more Banji than Cardi B, though.
That's fair.
You sound more Banji. Yeah.
Thank you. I try. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously, my catchphrase is "Eat, Pray, Thigh." Those are the three words that feel like summarize me. What would your three word or your catchphrase be?
I don't know if it's three words. I don't know if it's a catchphrase.
Okay.
I mean, I've been told I make things really difficult, so unnecessarily complex. But
ooh, yes, that sounds like an album. I feel like you like old school Brandy or something.
Yeah, it's
like
a little Teedra Moses, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something
there you go.
In your bedroom.
Hey. Yeah. So last summer, earlier this summer, I was talking to this girl who I haven't seen in a while, and she was like, "Isol, where you been? I haven't seen you in a while. You've been MIA." And I looked at her and I was like, "No, bitch, I have not been MIA. I'm never missing, and I'm always in action. Just because I didn't see you doesn't mean I wasn't doing anything. Actually, you just weren't a part of the plan, so that's why I didn't see you." But
okay, so
so never missing, always in action.
Yes, fuck it up. Okay.
Yep.
So I guess what is your favorite TV show at the moment? Is there anything you're listening to? Anything like that?
I just feel like right now it's a little hard being a TV watcher. You know, it's a lot of stress because there's so much to watch.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what to turn.
So you're
on.
Easily stressed. Okay. Didn't know that about you.
Between Hulu and Netflix and like, this is crazy. But I'm trying to watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. Don't know. I saw that they won an Emmy. Don't know anything
really
about
white.
It.
I know.
Super white. You know, I'm super black.
I know. Super.
Low-key a bird.
I know.
And by low-key, I mean hacky.
I know. But, you know, I'm kind of somewhere in between. So, you know, I've been there all my life. So.
Okay. All right.
What else? No. I watched Insecure, of course. And okay. I also watched, Game of Thrones is over. I've been watching that. But right now.
Also, don't watch that.
Hmm.
I tried. I watched 15
minutes. It took me 3 years to get past the first episode. But once you get past that first episode, it's good.
Okay.
It's really good.
I'm probably not going to watch it.
You're not going to watch
it. Although I heard that they do show penis.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
So
they do show penis.
That's. I might watch.
But you know what show they also showed penis on?
What?
Alexander Skarsgård. They showed his penis.
Yes. On True Blood.
No. Oh, well, probably on that too.
Yeah.
But more recently on Big Little Lies. Mm-hmm. With Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and Shailene Woodley on HBO.
Oh, really?
It's a really good show.
HBO loved to show some dick.
It was
we
lovely.
We show dick. HBO. That could be their new tagline.
Right.
Anything you're listening to?
I am listening to Sid, her new EP.
Okay.
Sid from the Internet.
I love Sid, but I didn't really love this EP.
Well, are you talking about she had one just come out 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, the one with the three songs.
Yeah. You don't like it? No.
I mean, I need to listen to it again. It was a quick listen.
Yeah, Bad Dream, Don't Look Back. That's the song.
But I love Sid in general. She's low-key, she could get these draws. She's a lesbian. I could be I'll be a lesbian for you.
Right. While you're doing Flawless, she probably would have helped do
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she would have been all up in me.
All up in it.
All up in this. Okay, so... Just so everybody knows, with the Eat, Pray, Thigh podcast, we're going to break. The questions are going to be asked under the three principles, obviously, eat, pray, thigh. So every time, sometimes we'll go in order. Sometimes we'll start with thigh. Sometimes we'll start with eat, or sometimes we'll start with pray. It just depends. For the first episode, we'll just keep it simple and start with the eat questions, per se. And, you know, this will be a conversation between me and Sol, even though we have a conversation every other 5 seconds. So this won't. Basically, you're just getting us with me asking him questions to some shit I've never asked.
Just throw it out there.
Okay, so we're going to start with the eat section now. All right. So if you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
My mother's macaroni and cheese.
Fuck it up.
It's so good. It's,
what does she
makes
do?
It. Oof.
What is she, what is her special ingredient?
She's
don't tell everything.
I can't tell everything.
Okay.
He knew. Please.
Mom would be like, what the fuck you telling people?
I'm from the South. I'm a Southern boy. But she uses so much cheese, different types of cheese. But I think the thing that makes it so good is the sour cream she puts in it.
Mm.
And then she bakes it in the oven. It's so good.
Okay.
It's really good. She puts a lot of other things in it too. But which I found out the recipe because one Thanksgiving, she pulled something in her back. And so I was 12 years old. And so I had to make the entire Thanksgiving dinner. She just sat there and told me how to do it. And I made the entire dinner. Yes, I can cook. I can cook.
Yes. Yeah. Can cook. Not only is you cute, but you can cook too.
Yes, I can cook.
And you can write.
I know. And I'm still single. What about that? But anyway.
Ooh, why you bother me when you know you got a woman? Or in our case, a man. Or maybe a woman too. Hey. We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
What would your last meal consist of? Like, if you were on death row and you're like, okay, you're like about to get executed, your last, what would your last meal consist of?
A Hawaiian steak from Houston's. Mm. It's so good. It's like it's unbelievably good.
Okay, I always get the fried chicken sandwich from Houston.
Get the Hawaiian steak.
Get the Hawaiian steak. Mm. I guess I always feel potato. Like. See, I'm always with people, so I always feel like, you know, I don't want to like be that bingy bitch that's like, ooh, give me the steak.
Be that bingy bitch.
Be that bingy bitch.
Order that Hawaiian steak.
Next time it's I go everything. Out. Next time I go to Houston's, what a baller. Okay, you already answered that, so I can't even ask that question. What's your favorite dish made by your mom?
Obviously, I have another one.
Okay.
She makes this amazing dessert called a blueberry crunch. Mm. It's so good. I literally can eat the whole thing by myself. My sister-in-law, well, my ex-sister-in-law, we used to, before she became a thought, but we used to fight over it, literally fight over it on Thanksgiving dinner. But this
who won?
Oh, is that really a question?
All right, I was just asking. Is that really a question? I don't know if you got them hands or so. We ain't never like we ain't never been in the space where we like had to fight or nothing.
No.
And you know me, I just fight with my words because I can't actually fight.
Don't let this facade fool you.
You a thug.
Don't let this facade
you
fool
a thug
you.
In these streets, son.
I handle it in the streets. I handle it when I have to. I handle it.
I cannot. What does your mental diet consist of?
My mental diet. Well, every day. I'm a really big fan of routine, okay. Even though my life is pretty spontaneous, but I love routine though. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I function better in routine. So I wake up in the morning and I meditate.
I can not meditate, save my life. But
I'm
gonna try.
You only can't because you say you can't.
Oh yes. Come see.
And you're also thinking that meditation is something that's really not. You're thinking that you have to clear your mind of everything and focus on. No, you don't.
Oh.
Meditation is about whatever you're thinking about. So like focus on that.
Oh.
It's not about. There's no way to clear your head. Why would you clear your head? You don't need to clear your head.
All right. Okay.
But I meditate. I do a daily devotional. Now, when I was in grad school, I met this really cute boy. His name was Alfonso. And
come on, yes, Alfonso. I feel like Alfonso had his like light skin with curly hair. No, he wasn't. Okay. What was he?
He was brown skin. Like his brown skin. Yes. He had a nice little like.
Shout out to the brownies.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't that tall either. He was like, you know, but he was like a little. He has bow leg. You know.
Yeah.
Let's put it together.
There's something about a bow leg.
Like, real even voice. Real confident. You know. But anyway, he was very like real red.
Look, I'm over here like, yes, right. Alfonso, what's right. your name?
I know,
tell
right?
Tell me what's your number. Okay, sorry.
So we met. We went on a date. We went to the Bronx Zoo, and he was taking pictures. He was a photographer, or whatever. And so and then,
Alfonso just keeps getting sexier and sexier.
I know, but I'm not finished though. Okay. And then the next week, he was like, "Well, I want you to come to Brooklyn." Because I was at NYU, and he was in Brooklyn. And so he said, "Come to Brooklyn. I want you to see this woman. She's a really good speaker. She just started out." And I was like, okay, cool. So I went, and it was in a park in Brooklyn. And I get there, and this is a black woman. She's speaking. She's so good. And her name was Ayanna Van Zandt. Mm. It's when she first started out, like back in like the late 90s. Yeah.
How ceremonious, because we Ayanna Van Zandt meets Little Kim Ow.
Yep. And I was like, oh, wow, this woman is so good. So then a couple of years later, I get a book from my grandmother called Acts of Faith, which is a daily devotional.
Yep.
So I still use that every day.
Okay.
I use it every day.
I took it from my sister and like would do some, but I never took the book home with me. I would just every time I went to our house, I would read the book.
Okay,
so the daily
and also I pray as well.
Okay, you pray that?
Yeah, I pray definitely. But and that's pretty much it. Oh. Then I start my day.
All right,
in the streets.
What is your like comfort meal? Like, what do you eat when you're like stressed or going through something? if you have a go-to meal, or if you even eat, because some people don't eat.
Oh, I eat. I guess my comfort meal would be the honey dip fried chicken from Amy Ruth's with yams and collard greens It's cornbread. That's my comfort meal.
Yes, come on, comfort meal. Mm-hmm. That's real sexy. Mm-hmm. What have you cut out of your diet, both food and mental?
Well,
about dietary and mental.
Well, about 2 years ago, I celebrated my birthday in Miami, and I did like this whole thing, like this 4-day celebration. Mm-hmm. When I rented this this mansion on South Beach.
Cause you a baller.
Please, well, American Express paid for it. Hey, right. It was work. That's a good thing about my job. I get to put off things I do for. I would do as myself as work. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so I invited like 8 friends down. We partied like all 4 days, and I felt like it was a real debaucherous weekend. I was like doing any and everything.
Okay.
And so I needed a cleanse. So when I got back, I went back to Atlanta before I came back to New York, and I went to this place called Cleanse Start in Atlanta. And had this really aggressive Eastern European woman who did my cleansing. And she was looking at everything that was, I'm gonna be gross. She was looking at everything that was coming out of my body as it was coming out. And then she was telling me, she said, you feel like this at 4 o'clock because of that. You feel like this. She was telling me about myself based on my, right. It was crazy.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I was loving it.
Of course you were.
And so she said, well, you know, African-Americans and Asians should not eat dairy, consume dairy, because we don't have the enzymes in our body to break it down. Hence why most of us have like, we're lactose intolerant.
Unless you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, like I am. And then like all the blacks have like we're strong and we can eat dairy for the most part. Although recently I have become a little lactose intolerant.
Well, she told me to stop eating dairy, stop eating chicken, stop eating fish, stop eating. The only thing she wanted me to eat is fish. But just was it tilapia? No, it wasn't tilapia. Tilapia, she said no. I forgot the kind of fish she said. What? No, I forgot. But anyway, so I told her that's a little aggressive, but I'll cut out everything except for chicken.
Okay.
So I stopped eating red meat. I stopped eating pork. I stopped eating all dairy like 2 years ago.
Damn.
Now, I said the Hawaiian steak for my last meal because that would be my last meal, so I would cheat. Mm-hmm.
You better cheat.
But yeah, and I stopped. And,
although I feel like if you hadn't, like, I mean, this is all hypothetical, so obviously you wouldn't be on death row. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you hadn't had red meat and then you had red meat, like, I feel like that would fuck up your stomach. And that'd be like, that's a horrible way to die with stomach pain. Like, ooh.
I don't think it'd be that quickly, though.
That's fair.
That's fair. And I think that'll be the last thing on your mind, too.
Yeah, you're dying, so.
Fair.
Okay, what have you cut out from your mental diet?
People. No. Well, I'm not lying.
As you shouldn't be.
No, I'm a firm believer. Not only am I an editor in real life, you know, well, all of it's real life. Why did I say that? Not only am I an editor professionally, I'm an editor in my personal life as well. I like ruthlessly edit everything in my personal life, whether it be everything in my house. I don't keep clothes in my closet that I don't wear. I'm not one of those people who has to like pack their closet to make them feel like they have a lot of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that person. So if I haven't worn it in a few weeks or months or whatever, and I know I'm not going to wear it, I give it away. I'm constantly giving stuff away. I'm constantly cleaning out my house, my apartment. And I'm constantly like getting rid of people who are really unnecessary.
Do you have any bags? Like the one you brought? Do you have any bags that you want to just give away?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I do.
I'll come over.
I do. I have this Margiela bowling bag.
Why you bother me? Yes. But a Margiela bag.
But yeah, so I just really believe that it's really important. I'm not one of those people who feel like, you know. Well, one time, people tried to make me feel guilty about editing people out of my life.
Because
one time my father asked me about an ex-boyfriend of mine.
Yeah.
That I made the mistake of introducing to my parents.
Damn.
But.
You were a mistake.
Basically. And I'll tell him that too. Well, I think I have. But anyway.
Well, he knows now.
That's fine.
He didn't say his name, but
that's fine.
He'd probably.
If I told you what he did, you would be like, yeah, you, yeah.
I mean, I don't even get further enough with these niggas to introduce them.
I would tell you what he did, you know, but I'm not petty like that.
Thank you, thank you.
But my father said, I'll tell you a line. My father asked me, Isol, where is such and such? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, Isol, when I asked you about him, you said it so coldly, like. Like he was just some like person, like this Negro off the street you didn't even know. He said, you know, it's really easy for you to like dispose of people. You might want to think about that. And it's my father, and I have the utmost respect for my father. Anyone who knows me knows my parents are everything to me.
Okay.
My father's like my best friend. My father knows, we talk about any and everything. Everything. My father and I talk about gay sex.
Yes.
I talk to my father about everything. My father,
so my father recently like asked me what kind of dicks I like.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Really?
I was like, I like them. Like them fat. Like, I like them fat. Not too long, but not too short. Like, nice. And I was like, this is such an awkward, like, not awkward conversation, because, like, this is my father, so I'm very used to him asking me questions. But it was like, it came out of nowhere. He's like, what kind of dicks do you like? And I was like, well, it's good that you asked that, because I hadn't had dick in a while. So it was like, I had to
think about it.
What kind of dicks do I like?
In the files.
Well, it hadn't been that long, but it had been like 2 months. And I was like, or like a month and a half. And I was like,
that's a long time.
That's fair. But not when we go through my records. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast and a blog called Eat, Pray, Thigh, and I don't get enough dick. But that's a whole nother subject.
Well, we'll take that out. We'll have to find
you. The universe is giving me.
Yes. Come on, universe.
Giving me.
Yes.
Well, I'm not actually thotting anymore. The universe might have given me a man. You know what they say. We'll talk about very early days.
When you do what's right and put it out, the universe has no choice but to match your efforts.
And I say, when you pussy pop, the universe will give you back.
It's the same thing. It's equivalent.
Yeah, pretty much. Same thing. Pretty much.
So, yeah. So, my father, what was I talking about?
Yes, you were saying how your father was like, you just kind of cut people out your life.
Yeah. And so I thought about it. And I thought about it, and I was like, I don't. I said, I do, but it's not anything bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. I really believe that. Because I think that people, we give people too much power in our lives. And we give them too much space. And we think that we owe people something. Mm. We don't owe anybody anything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
The only person you owe something to is yourself.
Oh, yes.
When you wake up in the morning.
I did, like, that's a word.
For real. Mm. You know, it sounds like a Hallmark card, but it's true.
Some of the greatest things come from Hallmark cards.
No, okay. Seriously. Yeah.
So we edit people from our life. That's how we. That's our diet, so to speak. Our mental diet. Oh, where did that come from?
Hey, was that Siri?
It's 8 o'clock. Now people know what time it was. Right. Anyways. All right. So now we're gonna go into the pray portion.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
I don't think you're ready for this challenge. What is your passion?
My passion is culture. It really is. I really, you know what? Last week I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and I was showing him this picture of me that I found, and I was holding a camera in front of the mirror, and I was this like below my eyes, and so you see like my eyebrows, my eyes, and I was taking a picture of myself in the mirror, and so I was like, wow. I said, you know. I knew who I was as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like I knew everything that I loved and I wanted to do as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I kind of lost it as I grew up, because in society teaches you to like suppress everything that you are as a child as you grow up, because you're supposed to mature.
Yeah.
So you get rid of all those things that you wanted as a child. But then as you get older, you realize that you had the answers already.
Pretty much.
And so I was like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I was a child. Like when I was a child, I was all about reading and writing. I read everything in sight. I was reading novels and everything. I was like 9, 10. I was reading Vanity Fair, Rolling Stone, Ebony, yes. Everything.
Ebony.
Life. I mean, everything. Jet. Everything.
Ooh, I was Jet Beauty of the Month. Yes. I still want to be the first male Jet Beauty of the Month.
Yeah.
Like that's still like a low key goal for me.
I never wanted to be that, but I always wondered what kind of lives they had.
I feel like they were literally like the like for a lot of them. I feel like if we did like a documentary on like Jet Beauty,
that's a good documentary. That's a good documentary. That's a real good.
Write down.
Right. Where's my notepad?
I feel like a lot of them would be like, yeah, that was the highlight of my life, and then I had these badass kids.
Right.
And it fucked up my body. And I'm like, damn.
That would be a good documentary.
That's but most of them are like under 25, so I feel like that'd be a horrible way. Like for them to be like. I reached my peak.
Hey, 20. Some people reach their peak earlier than that, but yeah.
Why you bother me when you know you don't want me? So your passion is culture?
Yeah, so I mean, I love writing, I love photography, I love film, and I love the things about people. I love people's creations, and I love the process of people's creations.
Okay.
You know, I love that. I love process.
Process.
Yeah, I love finding out how someone got to the point that they wanted to create something and then the process of creating that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I remember when I first saw, was it Ava DuVernay, before she started filming Selma, she was on Facebook and she was posting pictures of herself. She was in a retreat, and she had all the note cards for the movie. She had it all spread out on the floor. And I was like, wow, look at that. And I was like, and then later on, we saw the movie. I was like, oh, now I look back at the picture. I was like, wow, she's creating that film right there on the floor, you know? Anyway, I'm a nerd like that.
No. I first of all, Ava DuVernay is my queen.
I know. And when I found out that she wrote those speeches in the movie, because those weren't Martin Luther King's speeches, because they didn't have the rights to them. Mm-hmm. So she had to write those herself.
I did not know that.
So I was like,
that was like one of those few movies, like of those like period films that mm-hmm. I actually liked. But I also think I stand for Ava DuVernay, especially yeah. once I found out like she was a publicist at one point in time.
Yes, I knew her then when she was a publicist. I was the editor-in-chief of Rolling Out. Hey, Rolling Out. That was my first job.
That was my first magazine cover. That was my first. Marsha Ambrosius was on Rolling Out.
Okay. That was my first job.
Just so people know, I am a publicist sometimes.
Yes, that's how we met.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so my first job was at Rolling Out. And then while I was there, I was doing a story on Girlfriends, the show Girlfriends.
Yes.
So I flew out to L.A. and Ava DuVernay was a publicist for Girlfriends at the time.
I heard that.
Yeah, she picked me up at the airport, and like I forgot what kind of car she had. It's like some kind of car, and we drove out to Malibu together to the set. It was when Tony was getting married.
Mm.
Yeah. So we met then. She was really cool. It's amazing to see her.
Yeah, she had
evolution.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So that's why I had you on the show, because you know people.
My friend Jason calls me the Black Forrest Gump. I have a connection to everybody.
Okay. All right. I haven't seen Forrest Gump in a while, so that's fine.
You don't need to see it. Trust me. It's one of those movies you never need to see again.
Really? Damn. Mm-mm. All right. If y'all hear paper in the background, that's because I have questions, because this is my first time doing it. Eventually,
professional.
I know, right? I'm more than a pretty face.
Clearly.
What is one... Stop it. You're making me blush and shit. What is one dream you haven't fulfilled yet?
I have not made a film yet.
Okay.
But I'm working on that.
What kind of film?
Well, I want to do a feature film, but I want to start with documentaries.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you something, but I can't tell you. But if I could tell you, I would tell you.
Okay.
But I'll be able to tell you soon.
Yeah. Look, I'm waiting.
So it's a dream I have not fulfilled, but it's in process.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fuck it up. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, making people fall in love with me day by day. What scares you?
Mediocrity and self-delusion.
Mm.
Like that's our biggest fear in life, is to be delusional about myself.
Okay.
Biggest fear. That's why I would tell my friends, you can't be my friend unless you can tell me the truth.
Look.
I'm like, seriously. Tell me my shit is fucked up. I don't need any fans. I need friends.
Amen.
Yep.
Look, you tell me all the time, you get me together. And I feel like one day, not soon, but one day I'll be able to get you together.
But you can get me together now, support. Okay.
Look,
Trust me.
Do you believe in religion? Or what is your relationship with religion?
I don't believe in religion, no. I grew up in a cult as a kid.
I knew that, but I still gotta say, so I feel.
I know, right? I caught that.
Right. Like I didn't know.
Like you didn't know. You're good.
Right? Oprah, hey, I'm on
here
your
you
heels,
girl. Watch out, Gail.
Oprah, I'm playing.
So I grew up in a cult, and it was a very, what's the word for it? They were very just hands-on and just in your life, like in every part of your life. It was, you know, really disturbing. And then I had this incident where a friend of mine who was in the church as well, you know, she had like a curious kind of past, you know. Mm-hmm. In high school she was like a stripper and all that stuff, you know, so people kind of knew that. And so the youth leader at the time took advantage of that and took advantage of her, and she told me about it, you know. And I was probably like 15, 16, and she told me, and I was the only person that knew. And she told me not to tell, but then he found out that I knew. So he summoned me and basically threatened me with some stuff. And I was like, this is so messed up. So messed up. So as soon as I turned 18, I was out of there.
Okay, so you left the cult at 18. Mm-hmm. Is your family still?
So when I left, my family was still there. It was kind of a tumultuous time in my family life at the time, you know. Because I did several things at once. You know, when I do it, I do it. So
When I come in, I fuck the game
up. I fuck it up. I don't waste no time.
Fuck it up.
So I told my father, I said, hey, dad, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. I said, one, I'm gay.
Yes.
And I broke up with my girlfriend.
Yes.
And he says,
I don't need this pussy.
And she was cute, too. And he was
of course
like,
she was, because like, as a gay man, you're going to get the right? baddest bitch.
Exactly.
That's how you know when dudes is gay. Like, thank when they're you. Young, I'm like,
thank you.
That bitch wears more makeup than than Kim Kardashian.
Thank
He's
you.
He's gay, honey.
Thank yeah. you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so I said, I'm gay, and I broke up with my girlfriend. He was like, well, how do you know you're gay? I mean, just because just because if you let some nigga suck your dick doesn't mean you're gay. You know, I was like, well, dad, that's not it. I mean, I went to a gay club for the first time. I kissed a boy. I loved it. I had a good time.
Although, if you do it more than once, I think that might put you in, like, you know.
Well, I don't know. I guess he was alluding to the fact that, you know, a lot of straight guys have. You know, it's always that gay boy in the neighborhood that has all
that sucks someone's dick randomly.
Right.
I was not him.
I wasn't either. I wasn't him. No.
I mean, I suck things, but I wasn't doing it in the neighborhood. I wasn't.
But so I told him that, and then I told him I'm leaving the church as well.
Okay.
Because, and I told him, I said, actually, my main reason for leaving the church was I didn't want to be a hypocrite. Because they mainly taught you that homosexuality was wrong.
Mm.
And so my thing is this, I can't deal with something if it's not logical.
Okay.
So my thing is, you're telling me that God loves me, and the Bible says God loves me, but then I know that I was born gay because I know I did not wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be a fag. So like, I know it. That did not happen. And nowhere in hell did that happen. And so I said, why would God set me up for failure? That's not a loving God. And that's not a God I know. That's not the God I know. So obviously you teach me the wrong God. So I'm out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was out.
So you was out.
Yeah.
So you.
And then I started my gay life.
So have you not been to a church since then?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course. No, I just don't believe in organized religion. I will attend a church service.
You do believe in God?
Oh, of course.
Or a God. So
oh, yeah. I'm a very spiritual person. And not in that sense of spirituality that people just say as I'm always spiritual. No, I'm very much so. Like, I'm actively spiritual. Like, my relationship with God is just as important to me as my relationship with my parents. Like, I talk to God and work my relationship with God every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always say God is the homie. He be watching over me.
Definitely. And then right now, I've really been working on strengthening my intuition. Because my intuition game right now is just on. It's just
on point. Mine is always on point, too.
It's on point.
But, so that's why when I date trash niggas, I know that they're trash. But
I love how everything comes back to niggas. I love that.
I'd be like, oh, I knew you were trash, but I was just.
God told me.
He told me, but I was just like, you know, God. He does things to me that make me feel good.
Right. And you want me to feel good, don't you? Yes.
All right.
Yes. Okay. But I have learned to not question my intuition anymore. I immediately go with it.
Okay.
I don't hesitate. I don't do anything. I just go with it.
So the moment you feel something, you're like, that's it.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Which is why you're a great editor of your life.
Maybe so. Yeah, there you go. Mm.
Full circle.
We're making connections here. Look at them making connections.
I told you I'm a young Oprah in these streets.
I see. Yes.
I guess so. Going into the topic, what does it mean to you to be a gay black man in America? What does that mean for you?
To be constantly in a rage.
To constantly want to cut motherfuckers.
Yes, constantly. That's an interesting question because I always try to come to grips with that because like growing up, I was always the only black kid everywhere I was.
Mm.
You know? So I moved every 2 years growing up. I was an IBM brat.
Okay.
So my father was one of the first black marketing managers in IBM.
And you were in a cult? This is so...
Yeah, it was interesting. Wow. Yeah. So he's one of the first black men to be like promoted to an executive status at IBM. So he was one of the few that could... Well, he told me. And I was like, why is that? And he said, well, they have this test where they tested your aptitude for technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, most black people couldn't pass it. Mm-hmm. And he said, he's one of the few that passed it. So they grabbed onto him real quickly and he promoted him. Anyway, I thought that was interesting though. But
I think it's interesting too.
Yeah. And so we moved every 2 years, like up and down the East Coast. And mm-hmm. I was always the only black kid everywhere. So I had an interesting relationship like with, I always knew I was black though. I never wanted to be white, which is very interesting. I never wanted to be white.
No shade to the white listeners, as you shouldn't.
No, I never wanted to be white. Never. You know, and it's funny though, because you would think that being that I grew up around white people all my life, that I would have some kind of like, you know.
I feel like there are two types of black people who grow around white folks, and right. I feel like we're both that type. That right. Like either like really idolize being white and you really want to be white, or you're like completely like, nah, that shit ain't for me. Mm-mm. And we're definitely the mm-mm. latter, because I was like. When I would be around, I was like, y'all cute, but like, y'all get red when y'all get excited.
I had deeper problems. Yes. Deeper problems. So my very first job, when I moved to Atlanta at 16, my mother drove me to the grocery store and she said, okay, you're 16 and you need to get a job. I said, okay. So I got a job. I was bagging groceries, right, at the grocery store. So one day I was, you know, doing my job and I bagged this lady's groceries and I wheeling them out to her car, and she had a BMW, this white BMW. So I put the groceries in the trunk. So I reached for the trunk and to pull it down, you know, to close it. Oh my God, you would have thought I had just like murdered somebody. She's like, no, 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 no. This is how you close a BMW. You put your hand on the BMW sign right here, and you gently close it just like this. So I'm just standing there looking at her.
My bitch.
And so when I was like, are you finished? I was like, thank you for that tutorial. I said, I know, because I drove on to work and I pulled on my car keys and went tick and to my alarm on.
Yeah. Why you bother me when you know you got a BM?
Yes, exactly. W. I was like, white lady, I drove a 325E to work.
What thank you got very to much. Say now?
Yes, I'm 16.
Hair flip.
Right. And so at that point, I was realized like, oh, this whole thing about white privilege and just the things that they assume, it's just really powerful. And and a lot of things have not changed. Okay. A lot of things have not changed. So yeah. So anyway, so that being said, what was the original question?
What does it mean?
Right.
I know.
What does it mean to be black? You're right.
What does it mean to
so
be a black
just,
man?
So just in dealing with what it means to be a black man in this country, in this world, and then reconciling that with being gay, but I would dare say, oftentimes being gay has been easier with white people than just being black.
It's so funny when people say that.
It's true, though. It really is true. Like, I've gotten, jobs. I've gotten opportunities because I was gay and black. Mm-hmm. Like, white people aren't, I don't like to speak collectively or stereotypes. But
me either.
But it's been my experience.
That's why when I made the whole smell joke, I was joking.
Right, right. It's been my experience with the ones I have encountered that a lot of them may not be as, they'll be less intimidated by it.
Yeah, they seem, I think it kind of almost like being a black man and then being gay, like makes you less, like feel less aggressive, quote unquote.
Right. Exactly.
Because I'm very aggressive. Low key, like.
But yeah, so in dealing with that, so it's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't go around angry all the time or anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but I definitely think there are a lot of things that I feel that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And I think that this past year has been an eye opener for me.
In term.
Well, I was working at this place for a good like 9 to 10 months, and it was very interesting for me because it was eye opening. I learned a lot of things professionally. I'm really glad that I worked there. I think after the third month, I wanted to quit.
Okay.
But in my quest to not be self-delusional and be hyper-aware of myself, I had a conversation with myself in my kitchen. I said, Isol, you can't quit right now because you would be super basic if you quit right now.
That's super basic.
Super basic. And we don't want to do anything near super basic. So I said, you have not learned what you need to learn from this place. So you need to stay.
Okay.
So I kept my ass there. And it was good in that standpoint. But in the other standpoint, in dealing with all the things I dealt with while I was there, I think I'm gonna write a book about this actually. Because
come on, book.
Yeah, because I've been listing some things and writing out some things about all the instances of racism that I experienced there. And the thing about it is, what I realized is a lot of things that happen to black people by white people, they just don't, in my mind, they don't know that it's racist. They honestly do not know.
Yeah.
You know, and especially white liberals, because in their mind, they cannot fathom being racist.
Exactly.
But you can say some stuff that is just completely just mind-boggling. You're like, wow, that really came out of your mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And this, can I give you an example?
Yeah, look. We like examples around. Well,
so I was having a conversation with this one young lady, and she asked me, she said, you know, we were waiting for someone else to come to the meeting, and Donald Trump had just been elected, like the day before.
Oh, yay.
So she said,
great times.
Esau, I understand, you know, well, not me, because I've always been aware, but I believe that white people, we now understand what black people have been going through all this time. Now that Donald Trump has got elected, because we feel as if, you know, we've been betrayed, you know, so we know how it feels. Mm-hmm. So I listen to her, you know, I'll listen to a bitch, you know, I'll just listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let her finish.
Nala, go ahead, you got the stage, girl. You Taylor, I'm Beyonce.
Okay, I was really, right, exactly. I was really interested in where she was going with that. I was like, okay, I'm gonna see what you're going with this. So she finished, and I said, okay, now do you now? So you do understand. I said, well, how about you understand something else? And I'm going to give you a little nugget. So as a black person, I know everything about you. I know everything about you. I know everything about your ancestors. I know everything about your people. I know everything. I said, but you don't know anything about me or my life or my history or anything, because you don't have to. Mm-hmm. I said, because as a black person in America, I have to know everything. I have to come over that wall, mm-hmm, to get to know you in order for me to be sitting here in this seat and in this company right now. I have to, but you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to understand me unless, mm-hmm, you choose to.
Yeah.
I said, and that's the problem with racism in this country. And she was like, oh, wow, I guess you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, girl.
Right. So anyway, so it's all those things have been on my mind and dealing with.
Okay. So next question, I just want to know, like, do you remember your first crush, like your first, like,
yes,
boy crush?
Yes, his name was George Samalas.
Come on, George.
He's a little Greek boy in fourth grade.
Oh my God, mine was a little Italian boy named, I'm gonna say it anyway, his name was Andy McGeefrey, and he was like, I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
He was short and buff. And I still love short, stocky men to this day.
Well, George was like, no, he was tall and slim.
Yes, come on, tall and slim.
Had an eternal tan.
Yes.
Like feathered hair.
Oh, come on, feather hair. Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Damn. You started. Like, I was like 18, so.
Oh, I knew I was gay when I was 8.
Okay. Whatever.
I didn't know what gay.
But I knew
the feeling that I had. Okay. I mean, I knew it was the first day of second grade. I was late, of course. And I opened the door, I walked into the class, and everyone turned around and looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was standing there, and I remember I didn't feel embarrassed. I wasn't, mm-hmm, like, you know, embarrassed about it. The only thing I was thinking about, not that I was late, I was thinking about, I wonder what everyone thinks about my new cowboy boots that I had on. Brand new cowboy boots. They were everything.
Fuck the game up, cowboy boots.
Yes.
Fuck the game up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So we'll go into the thought question.
Okay.
These are like, and we might go back to a pray question, but we'll start one. So, I guess we'll just start with, have you ever been in love?
Okay, so I have been, I have loved many, mm-hmm, times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but in my, I guess, mid-20s to mid-30s, I was a serial monogamist.
Mm-hmm.
So I've loved, like, several times. But about 2 years ago, I realized, just in me, like, going back up my life, I realized I've only been in love one time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have been in love.
I've been in love once.
Just once.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I had been in love several times. Yeah. But I realized, I've only been in love once.
I only loved one of you.
Yeah. No, being in love and loving somebody is two totally different things.
Okay, that is true.
Right. I loved all of them.
You just wasn't in love.
No, I was in love with that one that totally made me crazy. But yeah.
The one that you in love are always the ones that make you crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Unless you're just naturally crazy like me.
Yeah.
My mother, so you get crazier.
Crazy. But it was good, though. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on it. I think I lost myself in it, but it was a good loss. Like,
Come on, a good loss.
It was a good loss. It was. It really
this just
was.
Feels like, I feel like this would be like your song, a good loss, like yeah. for your album. Mm-hmm. What was okay. it? Unnecessarily complicated?
I make things unnecessarily complicated.
Yeah.
But no.
So your album is unnecessary. I think from a marketing standpoint, yes. unnecessarily complicated mm-hmm. is a good album.
And a good, yeah, a good loss being my first single.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. We got your career together.
We got a strategy.
Ronnie Jerkins.
Come on, publicist.
Come on. Ronnie Jerkins. And I'm a PR and a, you know, A&R son. I do it all. I'm sorry, I'm looking over the questions. So, what Sex in the City character? Do you watch Sex in the City?
Duh. I know every line of Sex
okay.
in the City.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
And I'm so mad at Kim Cattrall for, like, fucking up the third movie.
Okay, that
movie.
Is a rumor. That's just the Daily Mail. We don't know if that actually happened. Mm. I just want to throw that out there. We do not know if that actually happened.
Supposedly, apparently.
Supposedly.
She
I would like to
deal
believe
with
that
Warner
Kim
Brothers.
Cattrall would never do that to
I know,
us.
I met Kim Cattrall, like, last summer. I was so excited to meet
I
her.
I think she's still the baddest. Like, she yeah. will forever.
I watched her new show. A show on what network was that? When she played the woman who's married, she's a former model, and she's married her husband. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really good, actually.
Okay, I gotta Google that.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay, so what Sex and the City character do you?
So I'm across between Carrie and Miranda. Like Carrie's naivete, because mm-hmm. if you look back on Carrie was a stupid bitch.
Oh, totally, and just that's why dumb. I don't like her.
She's dumb, but I've done some dumb shit too. But
I mean, I could write a book on being a poo bitch.
So I was a cross between Carrie's naivete and Miranda's cynicism. Yep.
I get that.
I was Joan on Girlfriends, the straight Joan on Girlfriends.
Yes, come on, Joan.
And Insecure.
I'm Joan on Girlfriends too.
Yeah.
Who are you on Insecure?
Issa. I'm an awkward black boy. I'm totally awkward. I'm not. I was too.
You're not awkward though. I don't think of you as awkward.
I'm very awkward.
That's probably because I've known you for so long. But even when like I first like didn't like when I just knew of you, you weren't like I would never say awkward.
I know people always have this like this whole like idea of me. It has nothing to do with who I really am.
As most people do. Like people like I was at Afropunk recently, and somebody walked up on me and was like, "Are you dieting today?" And I was like, "No." And I just thought it was hilarious. Right. And then I actually had another person walk up on me like, "I love this personality, your Instagram personality." And I'm just like,
"Well, you have to admit you did like step it up and created this whole."
I did.
I loved it.
That is a part of me, but like I'm not just walking around like busting it open.
Right.
I mean, I bust it open. But just in private spaces.
Right.
Nothing wrong with busting it open.
Nothing wrong with that. No judgment.
This is a no judgment zone.
This is a safe
bust
space.
It open where you feel you deserve to
right
bust
now
it open.
And send yeah. us a tweet.
And hashtag eat pray thigh.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm Issa. So I think I was too black for the white people and too white for the blacks. Mm. So I was always in between.
Okay.
All
right. I'll fuck with it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had your heart broken? And if so, what did it teach you?
I did. It's interesting though. I think I had my heart broken. So when I was in college, I met this boy who was so cute, and he was a vegetarian.
Okay.
And so I became a vegetarian too, of course.
Of course. Because whatever your man like, you always like.
I was so silly.
When you're young, you're like, I like the NDRE because this boy liked the NDRE.
Oh, yeah, that's a stretch. I don't know if I could do that. But
it was the first boy who ever kissed me. He set my little world on fire, but we'll talk about that another day.
Oh, okay.
Fuck him.
Was it the first album, at least?
No, it was the second album. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. He sang Beautiful Surprise to me. You know that song? Mm-hmm. It's on the second. It's like, you are a beautiful surprise. And I, like, loved him. Mm-hmm. I loved him. If he ever hears this, fuck you. you know who you are.
Well, I would say fuck
and
you.
That's why I didn't acknowledge you in D.C. during Pride. I'm sorry. Okay, keep going.
Oh, you threw him shade. Okay,
I threw him mad shade.
Wait, the story's gotten better. Wait, you threw him shade during Gay Pride in D.C.?
I did, because, like, this is so messy. I was with a friend who also knows him, and like,
you should talk to him too.
I'm not confirming nor denying it. But nonetheless, I paid him dust. I was like, I'm not sneaking because
you shouldn't. Have.
I was 20, and you was the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
motherfucker. Right. But I'm not bitter though.
Like my mother told me yesterday, men are dogs. They are dogs.
Oh, I don't want to say that. I believe
no, she was responding to a story I told her because a really good friend of mine was dating this guy. Mm-hmm. And they had sex yesterday, and then when they finished having sex, he told her that he was married.
Damn.
And he just got married on Friday.
What?
Mm-hmm. And then
why you bother me when you know you got a woman?
Then left. Just walked to the door. I was like, dang, that's so bold and beautiful.
See, that's the type of shit that gets you shanked. Because I'll shank him. Like, he wouldn't have made it out of my bed. I would have been like, hold on 1 second.
It's hard out there.
Let me stab you in your chest.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's hard.
Not like stab you like so that you die, but just watch you bleed and then call 911.
Right.
And you better not say I did. You better
watch
say
you
it was
bleed out like Grace did on Greenleaf. Yes.
Damn. Where is she? Where is she?
Damn, son.
Okay, so you... Wait, so we totally got off subject because of my motherfucker that I got heartbroken by. Okay, so what did that heartbreak teach you?
Oh, yeah. And so I did all that for him or whatever, and you know, we ended up breaking up. But I don't know. But actually, you know what? I'm sorry. That's the wrong story.
Okay.
No, I actually...
Tell the right story.
I was actually heartbroken the year after I got out of college. I dated this guy, and the thing about me is, especially, well, back then, I would give you like... Well, once I'm in it, I'm in it. I'm mm-hmm. giving everything, you know.
Of course.
And I was still naive at that time too. So I, we were dating like hard, and then I went to his apartment one night to surprise him. I had a key mm-hmm. and everything, right?
Ooh.
And so I walked in.
It's already getting juicy.
It's horrible. I walked in, and I'm like, called his name, but then I figured he's in his bedroom. So I opened the door in his bedroom, and it's like pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even fathom anyone else being in there. I was like, what's up? What's going on? And he was like, oh, just wait for me outside. I'll be out in a second. I don't know why I didn't turn the light on. He's like, I'll be out in a second. I was like, okay, cool. So I went out like a fool, and I'm sitting on the on the counter in the kitchen waiting for him to come out. He comes out, and his robe was kind of open. He was like, yeah. So what's up? He was like, yeah, you know, my friend, what's his name? He stopped by. He came over to say hi, whatever. And I was like, are you kidding me? And the boy came out of the room and shuffled on out the door, out the front door. I was like, wow, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, so then he got mad that I was getting upset. But anyway, long story short, that was my first time and only time I think my heart's ever been broken.
So what did they teach you?
To never trust niggas.
Damn. Damn. Never. Don't trust no nigga, no. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Now, in me saying that, I believe monogamy, okay? I believe it mm-hmm. can exist, but I also believe in the reality of who men are. And whether you're gay or straight or up or down, gray, yellow, green, all men are greedy. All of us are greedy. It's in our DNA to be greedy. It's not in our DNA to be monogamous. It's really not. And I'm not saying that you can't do it. If a man is monogamous, that means he is going out of his way to be something abnormal.
Yes, I agree. I won't say that all of them are all of us, but I will say 90%. 90%. Mm-hmm. So majority. Mm-hmm. No, that mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's taught me a valuable lesson. You know, that I just need to be more careful.
Okay.
With my heart.
Yeah. We're playing games with my heart.
Yes. Okay. And he ended up becoming like one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That. In the words of Kelly from Insecure, that's what we call growth.
I know.
Because I ain't being no. Mm-mm.
Now, I didn't want to be. He tried to force his way in, you know, but I was like, fine.
And you eventually just let him in.
I was like, fine, whatever.
Fuck him. I don't know who you is, but fuck you. Because you heard my fairy gay godfather. Okay, last question from the dot questions. Your dream threesome would include?
Okay.
And this can be whoever.
Well, Ryan Gosling would be one.
Yes, Ryan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was just having a conversation about how Ryan Gosling is like
everything.
Top five finest white man. Top five.
He's everything.
Everything. But he's not. I mean, he's not number one for me. But he's like number three or four.
He's number one.
Matthew McConaughey is number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just, it's something about his, like, there's something about, like, I feel like we would be wrestling alligators.
I feel like he's really nasty.
Yeah. That too.
You know, he and Janet dated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what? Whatever Janet likes, mm-hmm. boy likes too.
She told me that when I interviewed her.
Yes. Come on, Janet. She better spill tea. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Ryan Gosling.
Who else? Jared Leto.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love Jared Leto.
Wow.
He's a beautiful man.
This is very Caucasian. This is very like.
I mix it up, Savoy. I mix it up.
Yes, you better look. You better fuck the game up. Look. And we are okay with the Caucasian threesome. I just wasn't expecting it. Yes. Okay, so now.
And. Oh. Yes, and so right now. Oh my God, I wish I can't remember his name. He's a porn star that I'm obsessed with.
Ooh.
He is in Atlanta. He's in between Atlanta and Ohio. What is
straight
his name?
Gay?
He's gay. Oh. Well, at least on porn he is.
Okay. Look.
I forgot his name. Dang.
Damn.
I forgot his name. But okay, since I can't remember his name, how about we go with the what's that guy from Queen Sugar?
What is it? Kofi Sarib. Kofi? The young one? The dark skinned one?
No, the other one.
I haven't watched Queen Sugar, even though I love Ava. I haven't, because I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've literally been, like, insecure, and that's pretty much it.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Like someone,
yes, come on. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we're going to do bird confessions.
Okay.
These are rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
You just come to whatever your answer is, you just let me know, and then we'll go. If you want to explain your answer, you can.
Okay.
But we're just going...
Just throw it out there. Just throw it out.
So, what kind of bird are you? Pigeon, dove, flamingo, or peacock?
A peacock.
Yes, peacock. Favorite ratchet song?
Rack It Up.
Yes. Which one could get the ass first? Or whatever. Street pharmacist or gangbanger?
Street pharmacist.
Okay. Knuck if you buck
other side
or back
that?
What'd you say?
Other side of the game.
Come on, street pharmacist.
Yes.
I think I would be a street pharmacist too. A gangbanger, like, I ain't about that life. Knuck if you buck or back that ass up.
Knuck if you buck. I'm from Atlanta.
Come yes. On. Yeah, we knocking and bucking and ready to fight.
Oh. I love me some diamond. Come on now.
Ooh, classic. Diamond is.
Diamond's everything.
Diamond deserves her flowers, okay?
She does.
Just for that verse.
But
that verse.
If you can have a verse that is like, you're just like,
that speaks to my bird.
No, like, that's legendary.
Yeah, like.
To have a verse that everybody knows,
mm-hmm.
That's all you need.
And you get crunk.
Just like Lil Kim will always just live up all about the Benjamins. That's all she needs.
Woo.
And anytime that record plays in the club, and they cut it off before they get to it.
I'd be ready to fight.
I'd be How ready dare to you cause a riot.
How dare you? Do you not know?
Right.
Okay. Now Laters or Jolly Ranchers?
Now Laters.
Keisha Cole or K. Michelle?
K. Michelle.
Really? Jocelyn or Cardi B? Jocelyn Hernandez or Cardi B?
Cardi B.
You better say Cardi, or I was gonna completely judge you.
But I used to love Jocelyn though.
Really?
I did.
You want my Purica?
I did. But I feel like she kind of like, well,
she didn't reach the peak that Cardi.
I just feel like she kind of like wasted her moment.
She did, you know? But she also, I don't think she was really that talented. Like Cardi's like low key talented. Yeah. Like not even low key, she's high key talented to me.
Well, I think the thing about Cardi is some people are talented and some people know how to work hard.
That too.
And I think Cardi knew how to work hard.
Yeah.
Because she talked about her journey. She talked about, you know, while she was on Love & Hip Hop, she was going around to all these cities and performing. Mm-hmm. She said if two people were in the audience, she was performing. And she did that around the country.
Ran down on that bitch twice.
Right. So, I mean, people, when you do hard work, it comes back to you.
Yes. Full circle.
Yeah.
All right. Love & Hip Hop or Basketball Wives?
Love & Hip Hop.
Bundles or wig?
Bundles.
Yes. You better sew it in.
Yes.
Amber Rose or Kim Kardashian?
Who?
Amber Rose or Kim Kardashian?
Oh, Kim Kardashian.
Whatever.
I like
so Kim. Everybody knows Amber is the queen
of what
in the Eat Pray Thot land. Mm, in the Eat Pray Thot land, and get your life. Don't do it. Not on my show.
Now,
not on my podcast.
No, I will
not
say
on my watch.
No, right, exactly. Now I will say this. I always tell people Amber Rose is the perfect example of the American dream.
Yes.
Because any bitch that can go from the pole on Thursday and sit front row in Paris at Fashion Week on Saturday. That's a bitch who goes to the strip club and never goes back to her apartment.
Never.
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 That's the American dream.
What? Exactly. Ass implant or lipo?
Oh, neither one. But if I had to choose one.
But if you're a bird, this is your bird. Right. These are bird confessions.
Lipo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. DR Columbia. Where you getting your lipo, son?
Columbia.
Yes. See, I knew one. Baby fat, apple bottoms, or J-Lo?
Baby fat all the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, I would be apple bottoms, though, because I'm getting an ass implant in that lipo.
Okay.
I got you. But I am getting in Columbia, though.
I used to love, but I Kamora Simmons is everything to me.
No, like, I remember, like, when I would watch, like, because I was always into Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. The Baby Fast show was, like, my favorite. Like, I would.
Well, you know,
like,
that was the first, like, ghetto kind of black show to make it, yeah, make a real,
yeah,
make it
like
a Fashion
a
Week.
Real, like, yeah, yeah. Like,
and she made Baby Fat, like, a legitimate brand.
Remember when she had the Giuseppe mm-hmm. Baby Fat collect? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, bitch.
Kamora Simmons was everything. Actually, my favorite article ever, feature in a magazine ever, was her feature in Vanity Fair back in, like, 2000. It's mm-hmm. everything. They follow her to St. Bart's, and she just carries on the entire story. I love it.
Kamora Lee is just a bad black American.
She needs to come back to television.
Yes. IG model or video vixen?
What was the first one?
IG model or video vixen?
IG model.
Okay. Really? Really? I thought you was going to pick up. Yes, you got deaf. Shade Room or Ball Alert?
Shade Room.
Okay. Tiger or Safari?
Safari. I think Tiger needs to realize he's not a celebrity anymore.
Amen. Plan B or prayer?
Plan B.
Good answer. Okay, so it's so funny. That's hilarious. So the first question, what kind of bird you are? So there are bird levels to me. Obviously, pigeons, like, the lowest tier, you're full bird, like, mm-hmm. you're full ratchet. Mm-hmm. And then dove is, like, half ratchet, half classy. Mm-hmm. And then flamingo is, like, two-thirds classy, one-third.
Okay.
One-third bird or okay. ratchet. And then peacock is, like, you got maybe, like, 5 or 10%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But full, like, you mostly, you just full-blown bougie. So you are a peacock. That's...
I'm not bougie. Bougie has negative connotations. No, but, I do not like.
But fuck them negative connotations. Mm-mm. Fuck them.
Bougie is a negative term.
But you a classy broad. You was riding a BMW at 16. You was a classy bitch.
But see, when people say you're bougie, that means that you're acting that way because you think that you're something that you're not.
That's fair. Okay, see? So but still,
classy. I never act like anything I'm not.
Okay, well, classy, classy, just classy. I'm sorry. We'll give you what you need. Okay, and then lastly, our last, like, we're going to close the show out. Every week we'll have a Zaddy of the Week. I'll have a Zaddy of the Week. And then mm-hmm. the guests will have a Zaddy of the Week. So mm-hmm. I'll start first.
Okay.
We give you time to think about your Zaddy of the Week. Yeah. So my Zaddy of the Week is Sterling K. Brown.
Mm.
And I just think it's something about the way he loves, his passion. Like, I just feel like, mm-hmm. like, I feel like Sterling, like, he don't even, like, he'd probably, like, look you, like, lovingly in your eye while he fucking you. And he don't, like, he don't do, like, no, like, strong, like, he ain't just, like, bang, bang, bang. Like, mm-hmm. like, he might give you a little bit of rough, but it's mostly, like, central, which usually I don't like, but I feel like with him, I'd be like, fuck it up, daddy.
fuck it up.
And I just love the way he loves his wife, and I love how he, like, takes himself seriously, but not overly serious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's my Zaddy of the Week. So okay. Everybody, open your legs up and welcome him by saying, hey, Zaddy.
Hey, Zaddy.
Hey, Zaddy. Okay, so your Zaddy of the Week is?
I don't know if I have one. My Zaddy of the Week. Oh,
it can be like anybody.
It has to be a celebrity, huh? So,
it doesn't have to be a celebrity.
So people can relate,
no, it
right?
can be whoever you want your Zaddy of the Week. Sometimes my Zaddy might be a random, like,
well,
see, not my, ran that
well,
random.
I kind of, yeah.
It could be a politician.
Well, mine's not. Mine's a barista. My barista at Starbucks. Yeah. He's really cute.
Yes. Yeah. Come on, barista.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, like, a moment every time. Every morning I go in and get my coffee. I'm not going to say which Starbucks it is.
Nope, because you know bitches will run up and be like, yeah. Hey.
That's my barista. Get out of here.
Don't mess with right. my man.
Right.
I'm going to be the one to bring it to you. All right. Well, thank you.
This was fun.
Thanks. Yeah. I had fun, too. I was mad nervous.
I know. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but, you know.
I want to come back to eat Pray Thought. Can I come back?
Yeah, you come. You okay. can. But now it's the second season. We can't have you just be on first of all.
I know.
He was like on 4 episodes in the first season. Like,
don't he have anything to do? He don't work.
Right. He said he had a job and he was doing things. Right. Girl, it don't sound.
We
like
know what they mean when they say you're freelancing.
All right.
Congratulations, Savoy. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for coming.
And many blessings. Much luck to you.
Yes.
Oh. Much love.
I would like to thank everybody for listening. I would like to thank my executive producer and my GBF, Edwin Nelson. He's over there mad quiet and laughing. I would like to thank all my friends. Like, I gotta do like a low-key Grammy speech. I would like to thank all my friends and everyone who has just been a part of this journey. And I would like to thank the listeners, you know, thank you. Welcome to Eat, Pray, Thot. Please tell all your thotty friends, tell some of your non-thotty friends about the Eat, Pray, Thot podcast. Because I need to start making some coin off this. Because I'm tired of being a publicist. Joking, not really. But nonetheless, thank you guys. And we'll be back next week with an episode 2. Can't tell you who the guest is just yet, but because I don't know just yet, but it will be a guest.
But God's gonna come on through.
I got options.
Right. Come on, Cardi.
Maybe not in the bedroom, but I got options in terms of interviews. All right, bye y'all. Have a great day. And remember, be the best thought and the best bad bitch you can be.
Amen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fuck it up.
Fuck it up.
All right. I woke up like this. Bye, guys.